Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, April 28th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, it's great to be here this Monday afternoon. A lot of tornadoes going on down around Arkansas. I was surprised at the number of deaths, and I know we have lots of, I know I have many clients down around that area, and I know we have lots of listeners down around that area, so I hope our listeners and our clients have been safe, and we'll keep everyone in our prayers, but it's tornado season, folks, and, you know, take the warning seriously.
Melody, you don't have to worry unless you live in a mobile home.
Well, that's not true.
Something about mobile homes that attracts tornadoes.
Well, they that's not true.
That's the first thing they go for.
Yeah, that's not true. But
that's true. That's what they say.
That's what they say, and they are wrong. And so be careful out there, folks. And it's that time of year again. It's been fairly quiet for tornado season, but I guess when it hits, it's hitting with a vengeance.
It's unseasonably tornado-like.
Yes, it was.
We get a lot of unseasonable weather.
Yeah.
Seems to happen every season. We have unseasonable weather.
Now it's changing. Gold changed a little bit today, down $7.70, currently at $12.97 on the New York spot. You have silver down 17 at $19.66. These numbers have, you know, not a lot of change throughout the day. Platinum was down 2 at 14.23, along with palladium down 8 at 8.05. USDX today, that was down 0.07 at 79.70. Crude oil was up 0.43. It's typical Monday anymore. Let's see what we have in the paper markets today. We're looking at the Dow was up. I know the Fed is meeting this week. The Dow was up 87 points at 16,448. The NASDAQ is down a point, 4,074. The S&P up 6, 1869. Just a mixed bag of things. 10-year yield up 0.01 at 2.68. It's interesting now because Bank of America comes out today. And they said, oh, we made a mistake. We have an incorrect adjustment related to bad debts that they didn't figure correctly.
Just a tiny mistake?
Tiny mistake. And
okay.
They were all out talking about how they were going to hike their dividends and have a stock buyback, and they sent it to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve approved it, and now they are requiring the Bank of America to ditch its plans to return cash to the shareholders. And the stock buyback certainly has been shortened. But they incorrectly reported capital ratios in their recent stress tests. Now, you know, here's the second largest bank in the U.S.
Uh-huh. And they can't keep, apparently they've learned new math. It's not important. That's what we have in the Obama administration is new math. It's not important whether you get the answer right or wrong, the mathematical answer. It's only important that you feel good about yourself after you create the answer. And that's what Obama does.
They've had a heck of a year, but their shares dropped over 6% to new trading based on this information. So, you know, but it's just like Citi. I mean, you know, when they did the stress test, they did the same thing. I mean, nobody knows. Well, we know. We know the condition of these banks, and it isn't as good as, you know, all their little stress tests that they do really mean anything.
That's the problem with all of this. You know, we talk about it on a fairly regular basis on the program. We know the government is falsifying fundamental economic indicators, the inflation rate, the unemployment rate, things like that. We understand those numbers are being manipulated in order to create a false impression of what's happening in the economy.
And so are the corporations.
I understand. How far does this go? And the difficult thing is, even if you can find a bank or a corporation that is giving you straight information, can you trust them anymore to do so? I mean, we're caught in a situation where they give you a number, and almost anyone who gives you a number, you have to ask yourself, is that number real? Huh? Or are they lying? Are they trying to manipulate? And all by itself, the government talks on a regular basis of how important it is to maintain confidence in the dollar and confidence in the economy. And the government tries to sustain that confidence by telling lies about the economic indicators. But as we become aware of those lies, the lies themselves diminish our confidence in the dollar, in the economy, whatever. I mean, when you know people are lying to you, you know it. How can you have confidence in them anymore or the institutions they represent? And the point I'm trying to illustrate is that by virtue of lying to people about economic indicators, they do it. They tell you the lies to sustain economic confidence. But in the end, once you know they're lying to you, it diminishes economic confidence. It was a dumb idea. It remains a dumb idea to lie about the inflation rate, the unemployment rate, and so on. It's stupid. It's counterproductive. And yet, ta-da, they do it.
They do it. They get away with it, and people accept it.
For now.
And then for those that don't accept it, they kind of say, well, we know there's no inflation. But, you know, that's, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I don't know that there's no inflation. I wouldn't. I'm going to assume that there's more inflation than what they're reporting.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what I mean. That's the point to this. And they're saying, oh, inflation. They're trying to get it up to 2%. Yeah, go to the grocery store.
You know, the prices are incredible.
Do your own shopping instead of hiring somebody to do it for you. Do your own shopping and see what you think about inflation.
Plano, Texas.
I live down the road, just down the road from Plano.
Well, they're going to get a new company. A new corporation is moving its U.S. headquarters from California to Plano, Texas. And that's Toyota, a Japanese automaker. They announced today about the move. And it's not expected to begin until 2017. But they say the new headquarters will bring together employees who are now scattered around the country. It will break ground on a new headquarters in Plano, Texas this year. Toyota will offer relocation packages to the 1,000 employees who currently work at the Torrance headquarters. And Toyota opened the Torrance, California facility in 1982. So you're looking at 1,000 employees. Well, you know, you have your families, you have your homes. You know, hey, you have 2017 in order to sell your home, but if you're going to relocate, many of them probably don't want to go from California to Texas.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't they want to go from California to Texas?
No, it's just different.
Don't they think we have enough Mexicans down here to suit them?
No.
We have plenty of Mexicans here in Texas.
I don't think that's the issue, Al, but...
you don't?
I think it's, you know, certainly... You know, different culture, and who wants to pack up and leave their families? Not very many people do.
Oh, don't say that.
But
it depends on, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people are just, wishing and dreaming for the day I could just get away from my family. You know what families do?
No, I people, go ahead.
They are, all of us grow up in dysfunctional families. They make it sound as if only a few people have dysfunctional families, but all of them are dysfunctional, and they are so bad that they force people to go out and make friends with perfect strangers. You understand that? If your family was cool, why did you leave? So.
Well, I don't. I'm assuming you're joking.
Yes,
there.
You can assume correctly.
Okay. But, however, I do believe that it probably does have something to do with cheaper labor, I would think, in Plano, Texas, and possibly with the immigration that'll be approved probably after the election. Or it depends on how bad the Republicans want to get in November. They do it prior to the election. I don't know. But whatever, I would think the probably be a little bit less expensive to have your headquarters in Plano, Texas, than it would be in California.
Probably. And you have the advantage of more guns down here in Texas also. It may be that the Japanese are looking for a more gun-friendly culture.
I think something else that's interesting today, Al, is something I haven't heard before. The state of Massachusetts is looking to prepare a bond, up to $177 million in bonds backed by state taxpayer money, to make improvements on the military bases, to try and keep the bases open. So the Pentagon is looking to close bases. And here you have Massachusetts that is looking to pony up $177 million backed bond, backed by state taxpayers' money, hoping to bribe the Pentagon and keeping the military bases open. So not only are the taxpayer, their federal money going to keep military bases going,
mm-hmm.
Now their state taxes are also going to keep military bases alive. And they say that Massachusetts says they're just simply recognizing the new political reality and that throwing hundreds of millions of dollars at the Pentagon is the only chance they have to keep their bases off the closure commissions list. So, again, it will keep jobs. I mean, you do have people in the private sector or the civilians, I would say, working at these bases also. So,
well, the point behind all of it is that if you want to keep your military, you've got to pay more taxes. That's all. You can either pay federal taxes or you can pay state taxes. But if you want to keep the military around, you're going to have to pay more taxes. And I'm not sure that everybody wants to do that. You know, certainly no one wants to pay more taxes. how badly do we want to keep all of these bases alive? But in any case, the other point is, the only reason we're even hearing this strange story is because the government has declared. Previously, we talked about this. They were going to cut the army back in terms of size to what it was prior to World War II. Prior to World War II. You understand? During the Great Depression. That's what they plan on doing to the size of the army. Inevitably, that means they're going to close some bases. And all of this is not simply a matter of being more efficient. It's a question of recognizing we don't have the money to continue to play the game. Truth is, we've spent too much money on military over the past several decades. And probably more than we can afford, particularly if you calculate the costs of going into Afghanistan and Iraq. And it's we've just exhausted our ability to continue spending at those levels, and therefore, you know, we're going to have perhaps we will see Army soldiers this Christmas fighting with Santa Claus people coming from what Salvation Army. They got their little bell and their pot and ask you to contribute. We'll have soldiers out there in front of Walmart, and they'll have their own a pack that you can throw money into to support the troops. I don't know. But it's all evidence that the government is in a state of financial stress. We can't afford as much military. And military is one of the things that we have loved. I mean, it's had an almost unbridled budget for several decades, and now those days are gone.
Well, it also makes you wonder, it also shows the state of the condition of the states, because they're looking at you know, Massachusetts as being the first state, but this is going to happen all around the country. So these bases that are closed have an impact
on
local economies.
Absolutely.
So it's more, to me, as a sign of what's really going on in our economy and how desperate these states are in order to dish out $177 million in tax. And $177 isn't that much. However, it's a sign to show how desperate these states are.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of money to be made off those bases.
Because these bases,
say you've got 5,000 people on the base. Not a big base, but say you've got 5,000 people there.
They're going to be filing for unemployment.
Well, no, they're not going to. Not if they're well, I'm not talking about civilian employees.
I'm talking about
the military.
Well,
I'm talking about the military. Whatever they pay, whatever they're paid, they spend in the local economy. And that means you've got 5,000 people. When they close one of those bases, this is equivalent to closing a factory that's got 5,000 people in it. All of that income that used, they'd got off base, they went down and spent it at the bars or whatever, or bought their cars, new cars locally and so on. Homes, if they were there long enough, certainly if they were renting. All of this is like closing down a factory. And it does, in terms of the economic impact on local communities and states in general. So what do you say? The economy is under stress. Government is being forced to face that reality. That stress not only applies to the government to the economies per se, it applies to the government. Government stops spending as much money as it used to spend to stimulate the economy. What can we anticipate? The economy will be less stimulated. We see evidence of this with the Federal Reserve tapering. They're not going to spend as much money on stimulating the economy as they have in the past. And now we see evidence of something like that happening relative to military bases, perhaps on a smaller level, but just the same. You know, you get these leaves in the breeze. They're blowing in the same direction. Suggest we have a problem headed our way.
But yet, Obama and the Philippines, they signed an agreement under a new defense agreement that they're expected to sign today so that active duty U.S. troops could return for the first time in more than a decade to a military base in the Philippines. The airstrip that used to handle some of the largest military aircraft in the U.S. Air Force, now it sits largely unused, and half of the bunkers are even torn down. So you're going to have money going into that to repair all that. And you're going to have it's going to become alive again. So.
Yeah, and what's the purpose? They're not defending the Philippines.
Absolutely
more than
not.
Likely. And I know the Philippines gets into a little bit of conflict with China, if I understand
exactly
correctly. But I don't think that's the real reason. I think they're trying to set up a base that is not on Japan, but nevertheless can be available if Japan and China become more aggressive in their conflict. hard to say. We'll watch and see, and we won't know for sure until we come back after a couple of minutes of commercials. I'm Alfred Addis, here in Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Jim from West Virginia is on the phone. What you got for us, Jim?
Oh, I've got a little West Virginia story. You were talking about Toyota leaving California and going to Texas. About early 80s is a West Virginia story, but it's typical. There's a fellow who had a specialty chemical manufacturing business, a mixed plant, has specialty coatings and lubricants and various other odds and ends. Oh, about 60 employees all told. His bookkeeper got killed in a tragic car accident, and he had to madly scramble to hit the payroll and all that jazz. At any rate, he got to looking at the books. He was not much of a businessman. He was more like a salesman engineer type. And he says, oh, my God, we're pulling all this money into workers' comp and unemployment comp, and we've hardly ever had any claims against it, and the liability insurance which we have to buy us. At any rate, he caught a hold of me, and he said, here's the deal. I'm getting ready to go broke if I'm not real careful here. I want to ask you to send these reports to 4 different CPAs, one South Carolina, North Carolina, 2 in Virginia, my market, knows how much I sell to whom, and my cost survey, okay? And ask them to give me an estimate of what the future would look like there. Well, And he said, keep your trap shut, don't tell anybody the plant. Okay, no problem. Well, he moved to Virginia. He had a hard time selling his commercial real estate in West Virginia. He had to buy a new building in Virginia because there weren't any suitable locations already in existence. And a lot of his employees went with him. His second year, instead of going broke, his second year, he cleared $1.5 million and spread it out amongst his employees. The next year, he made like $3 million. He was buying a new building. Another West Virginia story. If you have a medium-sized coal mine in West Virginia, you'll be paying $1 million to $1.5 million in taxes, fees, licenses, all that jazz. $250,000 in Kentucky and $100,000 in Virginia. West Virginia is the only state to lose population since I was born in 1951. Now, this is a micro study of what's going on all across this country.
Yeah.
If you want economic revival where you are, you get with your sheriff and you say, oh, the EPA is trying to shut down a power plant. I don't think so. EPA has no enforcement capabilities. So just tell them, no, goodbye, pound sand. You're a private corporation listed on Dun & Bradstreet. You have no right to come in here and do this. But what it boils down to is government is the number one cause of poverty worldwide.
I agree.
Almost throughout history.
I agree.
Yeah.
Government is always here telling us they're going to save us from some boogeyman. But who is going to save us from government? Because typically government is the real boogeyman, and it's been that way. It's not just a question of American government. The principal enemy of every people on the face of the earth is their own government. When we have... Who was the principal enemy of the people of the Soviet Union? It was the government of the Soviet Union. Stalin and people like that, they're the ones that set up the concentration camps and killed tens of millions. They lost more Russians to Stalin than they did to Hitler. And likewise, who wound up being the principal enemy of the people of Germany? It was Hitler and his government. He destroyed that country. I mean, the last thing he can do, the great genius of the American Constitution, is that it is essentially an anti-government document. Very few people understand or appreciate that concept or that argument. But the truth is, we have three different branches of government, and the idea is to keep the government divided up into three and keep it fighting amongst itself. We have elections every 2 years, meaning we don't trust these guys to be in office for any length of time. Hopefully the people will be wise enough to pay attention and vote in a better congressman if your existing congressman turns out to be a buffoon. The right to keep and bear arms, freedom of the press, freedom of speech. It is all intended to protect us against government, not intended to protect us against the English, not intended to protect us against foreign invaders. It's intended to protect us against the government, and that is the fundamental theme of the United States Constitution. It is, at heart, an anti-government document. People have lost sight of that. Government doesn't like it, of course. They don't want people to understand that principle, and they don't talk about it. But that's the reality of it. We've forgotten it, and we have forgotten it to our great impairment. We're going to pay a price for our ignorance.
Can I take this someplace else? This is very important.
You mean you're going to call a different radio program, Jim?
Say again?
You're not seeing other radio programs, are you?
Well, I don't know about that.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, for a half a century, I've known that private corporations under control of the Federal Reserve counterfeiters have supplanted, masqueraded, taken over, usurped, stolen our, quote, government, our government, and created a, quote, government list of corporations. Now, most people haven't given this much thought, but if you're a corporation, you can make secret deals, contracts.
Yeah.
If you are a corporation, you can accept money from various different people. I've heard a rumor that the FDA gets a third of their operating monies from big industries. If you're a government, if you're a corporation, for instance, and your guys are carrying guns around, do they have a permit to carry in that state if it's a permit state? If it's a corporation, they can issue executive orders. They can choose which policies to enforce, which ones not. Oh, we'll jump down on Joe Blow for his pond over here, but we'll forget the illegal aliens. You can choose which policies you enforce, which ones you don't. When you're a private corporation, you're supposed to pay income taxes, and they don't. Now, when the American people finally get this figured out, I've voted for half a century. My question is, why doesn't everybody else know this? Because they're just a bunch of private corporations along with your court. both houses of legislature in West Virginia are one corporation for profit and something else. Corporations, by law, have to do what their board of directors tell them, their owners tell them. And not only so, they have to make money. And this can easily explain a few things. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party are both corporations. Republicans incorporated in 1860. I can never remember the Democrats. But they're listed on Dun & Bradstreet. So, they are answering to the people who own them. I've heard it and rumored that George Soros owns both. They have to answer to their owners, not their customers. The people say, oh, yes, I'm a Democrat. Oh, yes, I'm a Republican. Now, folks, this is so second-grade simple, it's ridiculous. Now, all I'd like to know is why won't you accept that it's easier to deceive somebody than to convince that they're deceived? But for God's sakes, how much evidence do you need before you realize you've been lied to all your life? And just look into this, and I'm getting almost good as Alfred Adaft at ranting. I better shut up.
Well, I don't know if you're getting as good at ranting, but you're making a clear statement. And you're talking about things. Your question, though, is why don't people get it? And the answer is they don't exactly need to, at least not yet. Their ox has not been obviously gored. And it's unfortunate that people don't care about what's happening unless they can see that they have suffered a direct injury. And
well,
so far, these corporations have been able to conceal that injury from the people.
Yeah, I'm
pardon me?
Gored about $1 million, and I'm sick of it.
Well, I understand that. That's what it takes. I mean, I was fat, dumb, and happy for most of my life, and then I went through a divorce. And for the first time, it was like being hit between the eyes with a 2x4. And for the first time in my life, I could see the bright red color of injustice. Previously, everything had just been shades of gray. You go through it, and you suffer your own injustice, and all of a sudden you say, holy cow, this is something. I'm telling 60 Minutes. And it takes you a while to realize, no, it happens to a lot of people. There wasn't anything uncommon about what happened to me. It was not an aberration. And what happened to you wasn't an aberration either. It's happened to a number of people, but it's got to happen to far more people before we finally get the idea. And if we don't...
Well, Alfred, I've known this for half a century, basically. My parents swore me to silence at first because it was dangerous to talk about. Well, finally in the 80s, I tried to talk about it. False flag operation, people wanted to hit me in the mouth, said private Federal Reserve, I was discredited, they wouldn't listen. They're beginning to listen. But now,
yeah,
on the Internet, all you have to do is look it up. And I will mention this one last thing. They managed to destroy, one way or the other, three out of three of my businesses. Now, I don't know whether this is going to get through to people, but a lot of people who have money think that they are protected by their money. No, Jack, you're the number one target for all this.
That's right. That's right. It's just like Willie Sutton, the bank robber during the Great Depression. They said, why do you rob banks? He says, because that's where the money is. All right?
Right.
The government has the same mentality. Wherever the money is, that's what they're looking at. All right, they're like wolves looking at sheep in a pen. They're saying, that one looks fat. That one looks really tasty. If you've got money, you're on their list.
You betcha. And I tell you what, if you have the appearance of wealth, when this place comes apart, and I hope and pray it doesn't, I'm a pastor, so that's why I'm trying to warn everybody. If you have the appearance of wealth, you are inviting violence and theft. So the main thing is have something or other you can put in your pocket, and go boogity, boogity, boogity down the road. Talk to Melody. Okay, I'll shut up.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate your call, Jim. Appreciate your comments, insight, and experience. And we'll just have to sit back and wait for people to figure this out. If they figure it out. You know, one of the problems we face is not that we may have some sort of an economic collapse. Right, worst case scenario, dollar dies, we have an economic collapse, world goes into chaos. All right, all of that is possible. We understand that. We recognize the probability is growing. It's not necessarily going to happen, but it's possible. It's potentially. But what is that the worst thing that can happen? And the answer is no. The worst thing that can happen might be that in the aftermath of some sort of a economic collapse in this country, the American people will be bamboozled by elements of your government into accepting a completely different system of government that is essentially purely tyrannical, fascist, communist, whatever. In the midst of the collapse, people may be so frightened, starving, hungry, desperate, that they say, yes, trash the Constitution if I can only get a chicken once a week in my pot to feed me and my family. There's the danger. And the only thing that defends against that danger will be, however successful we are in trying to educate people to what the value of the Constitution is, what the meaning of the Declaration of Independence is, why you want the God-given, unalienable rights that are declared to exist in the Declaration of Independence, why they are so vitally important, and not one man in a thousand even recognizes what they are anymore. If we can communicate these ideas well enough where people can sit back and they say, I get it. I get it. It's not about a chicken in every pot. It's about rights. It's about liberty. It's about receiving your rights directly from God. And that's what they declared in the Declaration of Independence. Not one man in a thousand understands that today. And it's of huge significance. They don't understand. I was talking earlier in the program. The Constitution is an anti-government document. The government wants you to believe that the Constitution gives the government authority to do anything it wants. The truth of the matter is the Constitution was intended to establish a government of limited powers, where government could not do anything it wanted. The founding fathers understood that government was principal enemy of the American people. I mean, that Second Amendment was never intended to defend us against Great Britain or Canada or Mexico or any other invading army. It was intended to protect us against our own government. And you can deduce that from reading a document called the Preamble to the Bill of Rights. And you can find that. Just, again, Google in Preamble to Bill of Rights. And it's the cover letter that Congress sent out with the first 13 amendments that it proposed. Congress proposed 13 amendments to the states. The states ratified 10 of them. Those 10 became our Bill of Rights. They tell us in the cover letter that the purpose of the proposed amendments is to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. They say that. They use the words misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. Who has powers under the Constitution? The federal government. I don't have any powers under the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't give me any powers. It gives powers to President Obama and the Congress and the Senate and the federal judges and the bureaucrats. They have the powers. The purpose of the Second Amendment is to protect us against abuse or misconstruction of those powers. By who? By the federal government. Not about duck hunting or deer hunting. It's about protecting yourself against the inevitable impulse to tyranny that exists in every government on the face of this earth. And we've lost sight of it. And as long as we are blinded to that reality, we won't defend against that reality. We won't defend against any of the activities by the government that defy the principle of limited government. You know, if we go into a real collapse, the American people may be so ignorant that they are going to be willing to dispose of what was probably the finest government this world has ever seen. At least at one point. Just write it off and be done with it. And it will be extraordinary. It'll take a shooting revolution to bring it back. And that shooting revolution will be based on having enough people who have brains enough to know what they're fighting for. Fighting to resurrect, or right now just fighting to preserve. Where are we? We're half a minute from the break. We've got another caller. Jerry from Indiana is waiting on the phone. We'll get to Jerry after the break if he'll hold on a while longer. you know, the message here in all of this is there's more to being prepared than just having gold, silver, food, guns, ammunition. You have to prepare yourself for difficult times with a system of values that's conducive to your survival and even your prosperity. It's not enough to just have the means to fight if you don't know what you're fighting for. If you don't know why you're fighting, you're not going to be an effective warrior. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, and this is Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. And we have a caller, Jerry from Indiana. Hello, Jerry, what have you got for us?
Just wanted to say hi to Melody, and great job, Al.
Thank you.
Hi.
I listen to you a lot. How are you, Melody?
I'm doing just great, Jerry. Thanks.
Hey, just wanted to give a kudos out to your show. I listen a lot. Don't call in too much, but Al, you do a great job. I just had a question and then a comment. My question is, Melody, if you hear the dollar being devalued all over the world and all this, just wondering what that has, you know, if we owe China all this money, if, say, the dollar goes down, 50 cents on the dollar, does that mean our debt with China goes down that much?
That's the reality of it, because the dollars are only promises to pay. They're not real wealth, all right? And the way you redeem your dollar is you work for someone and they pay you $1,000. Well, all you've got is 1,000 pieces of paper. The way you redeem it is you go find some dummy out there at the Walmart or whatever who's willing to give you tangible goods for pieces of paper. They don't mind too much because they'll be able to turn around and take those pieces of paper and sell them to somebody else and get tangible goods, and now they're paid. But if the dollar is devalued by 50%, no one is going to get a full 100% payment. When they took the $1,000, they thought they'd be able to get $1,000 worth of goods and services. If the dollar is subsequently devalued by 50%, they will only be able to get 50% as much goods and services. They're going to be essentially robbed of half of what they thought they had that was wealth. Do you understand what I'm saying there, Jerry?
Well, I think I do, Al. I just wondered how all of it was going to fit together someday. You know, if they come up and we read in the newspaper or on, we're online, listen to, you know, say I'm listening to Melody and yourself, you know, hey, the dollars went down, the dollar crashed, we'll say. And I just wanted your input on that mainly, Al. But it seems like maybe
Let me give you an illustration. Let me give you an illustration trying to illustrate this idea a little better. You get paid $1,000, and with that $1,000, you can buy 100 pounds of steak that sells for $10 a pound. So we get $1,000, you get paid from your boss, you get $1,000, you could buy 100 pounds of steak. If they devalue the dollar by 50%, you still have $1,000, but you'll only be able to buy 50 pounds of steak. Instead of being able to buy 100 pounds, you'll only be able to buy 50 pounds of steak. They'll double the price of steak. You devalue the dollar by 50%, the price of steak will go from $10 a pound to $20 a pound. And the result is, instead of getting 100 pounds of steak, you're going to get 50 pounds of steak. And the same principle applies to automobiles and houses and cars and everything else. So when they devalue, those people who are holding on to paper are going to suffer a serious loss or a significant loss.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That's a good way of explaining it. And then my comment was, being from an automotive-rich state, which, matter of fact, up here in Kokomo, the first car was built in 1894. It was a Haynes Apperson, and it's on display up there, a beautiful car. So I've educated myself. My dad retired from General Motors 44 years. My brother just retired from General Motors. Used to be 155,000 GM jobs here in Indiana. Now it's down to, oh, shoot, Al, not very many. Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe 8,000. I don't know. I don't know what the figure is. But you guys you brought up the news about Toyota moving, you know, from one state to the next, and I haven't researched it, Al, and I don't know anything about this situation. But I can speak in the past that the only way we're going to get business here in Indiana is the companies are going to make a proposal to the state. And the governor's going to give them, or the county, local government's going to give them a tax abatement for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard that Toyota plant moving from one state to the other, I don't know. I didn't really catch all of it. Their tax abatement probably ran out, Al, and they're going to be searching for another one. That's the way the Japanese do business.
Yeah.
They built a Greensburg Honda plant. Greensburg, Indiana, pretty close to the Ohio line, southeastern part of the state. They get a tax abatement for 10, 15 years. What's to say they're not going to pick up and move? There's a Princeton Toyota truck plant in southern Indiana. You know, their tax abatement goes out. What are they going to do? They're probably going to search the globe for, you know, another place to go. That's the only thing I can figure, but I
agree with you.
In this case. You know, I don't know if that's the case in this case, Al. I just wanted to throw that out. But keep up the good work, and I enjoy listening to you and Melody.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate your call.
He's got a good point on the taxes, because I heard New York is out there advertising companies, please come to New York and we'll save you on your taxes.
Yeah, which means what?
Yeah.
We will get the people of New York to subsidize the location of factories moving into New York. Yep. Now, on one level, you would think that makes little sense, but they're not moving the corporate headquarters into New York. They're just using the factories. They move the factories in. They will produce products, but mm-hmm. the profits will go to the corporate headquarters, which may be in Japan or China or who knows where it's going to be, and it will siphon off the wealth. Ultimately siphon off the wealth of the people of New York. They think they're getting over by bringing foreign corporations in. In fact, they will be colonized. They will be impoverished by those very corporations. We got a call from Dave in Michigan. Dave, what do you have for us?
Hi, Al. Melody, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi, Dave.
Good. I got a survey from the Republican National Committee the other day. And basically all they want is your $110. And I used to give them that money, and I said, So I cut off the whole survey part on the bottom, and just with my name and the UPC thing with my code on there, I put on there 2 cents, and I scotch taped it on, and I said, here's my 2 cents. Too little, too late. because that's the whole deal now. The with NAFTA and CAFTA and GATT, this country is just gone. There's even Michigan tried to have a right to work state, do away with, you know, on all union shops. That hasn't brought a job in here. And I think Jim had said, you know, one state, well, Michigan has had a losing population for a long time. And it just, if you just want to come here and collect a welfare check, I guess this is the place to be, but especially in the summertime. But so anyway, yeah, they can process that 2 cents. And I always heard, too, that it cost about $2 to process something. So it cost a couple bucks to process my 2 cents. and then, Melanie, I sent you that deal again on health care about when you go to the hospital, you got to say, am I admitted or is this observation? This lady was critical, and they said people have left hospitals and gurneys because they were not going to pick up the whole bill. And so,
and the difference being is if you're only under observation, that Medicaid won't pick up the bill, or Medicare, one or the other, they won't pick up the bill. Right. Do you want to clarify that?
Well, that's what it is. If it's observation, Medicare will not pick up the bill.
And which means you're on the hook. If you're going in there, you'd better be admitted rather than just admitted for observation. The difference is who pays.
You almost have to tell them you got heart problems. You're having a massive heart attack, whether you are or not. That's kind of fraud. But, I mean, then they'll love throwing all the tests on you. Just hope you don't have to pay for it. But and now the word is that after 76, the word is not, no cancer care. So if you're over 76 years old,
so if you're going to have cancer, do it while you're young and you can still afford it, because you won't be able to afford it when you get old.
Yeah, because you're going to go to the soy and green factory.
You know what this reminds me of? Dave, it reminds me of the Russians used to joke during the Soviet Union, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. When you start talking about how you have to outsmart these people by claiming to have a heart attack so they actually admit you rather than merely observe you in order to avoid paying the bill and dumping it on Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, it's part of the strategy, the technology we will all learn on how to deal with government bureaucrats and how to try to unfox or outfox them. They pretend to pay us, we pretend to work. They pretend to heal us, we pretend to have illnesses. You know, it's the same thing. It's a world of lies and nonsense, and it can't work out well. Sooner or later, truth comes up. When it does, we go down.
When you're in a hospital, they give you a page, you know, a whole page of if, when, and why on there, and you really should put on the bottom, signed under duress, because there's no way that you can read that and comprehend what you just signed to be admitted.
I agree with you, because presumably you're under great stress. If only because if you're going to the hospital, nobody's going to the hospital because they think this is going to be vacation. We don't enter the hospital same enthusiasm we'd enter the local saloon. You say, yippee, thank God it's Friday, I'm heading for the bar. All right, nobody says, thank God it's Friday, I'm headed for the hospital. It's always stressful. There should be an attorney involved. The law should be, if you're going to sign legal documents, you should have an attorney at hand who can recommend what's going on. And you're exactly right.
You know, I always sign with the nurse, and I say, well, what's your name? I leave all I have to, you know, Joan, and they're laughing. But, I mean, that's about the extent of it. You have no idea what you're signing. You know, one other thing, Al, is that you know, election time's coming. Anybody that voted for the affordable health care, the people at Rand Corporation had to be laughing when they said that was affordable health care. You know, let's give this name, you know, and anybody that voted for it, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. They cannot get reelected. You can't reward failure.
I agree with you. And the people, it's not
that they themselves didn't want.
The problem with that Affordable Health Care Act, no one even read it. No one read the act before they voted for it.
Yep, Pelosi said that. We gotta pass it to see what's in it. Well, somebody sends you a package and it's ticking. Do you have to open it up to see what's in it before you go put it underwater?
Well, listen, you know, the other thing is this. The reason we elect people, and I've mentioned this on the program in the past, the reason we elect a particular congressman, for example, We vote for one as opposed to the other. We vote for a president, one president candidate as opposed to another. Why do we make, how do we make our choice? And the answer is, whether we realize it or not, the fundamental idea is we look at this guy and we say, you know, he's like me. And therefore, when he reads the bills up in Congress, when they come up and he looks at the bills and he goes through them, he's going to vote yes or no on that bill pretty much the same way as I would vote on the bill. He has the same system of values as I do, therefore I vote to elect him. But what difference does it make what his system of values is if he doesn't read the law? You could vote for a pederast, you could vote for a serial killer, you could vote for a chimpanzee. What difference does it make who you send up there if they don't read the laws before they vote for them or against them? And virtually none of them are reading the laws. They aren't legislating anymore. Legislating means we sit together and we write the law. I propose this, and Dave, you propose, so no, it's got to go this way, and we reach compromises among the Senate. They don't do that. They don't legislate. They broker.
No, it says Congress shall write all laws.
If someone comes in with enough money, they say, I'd like this law enacted, and they say, fine, how much money you got? And if you got enough, they'll get it done. They are law brokers. They are not legislators. They betray our trust by not reading those bills. Who we elect, what difference does it make if nobody reads the legislation? And the Affordable Health Care Act
is perfect. Let's start all over, you know? Really, you might have some good people there. It doesn't matter. Get rid of everybody there. It's a new form of revolution. If the voting is really authentic, you know, maybe we need Jimmy Carter to see if our elections are right, like he does. He goes to other countries, you know. Jimmy was just crying that he's got to write letters now instead of using a phone because he knows his phone is tapped. Well, hey, you know, you helped create the situation, Jimmy. I hope you like it, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, I thought the UN was checking our... I thought they were sending folks to our voting places to make sure they were honest.
No,
ACLU
and some other groups that intimidate people to vote in Detroit, at least, you know. One other thing, you know, the Barack has made $6 million in 6 years of office, or $3 million, it's $500,000. But Michelle has already spent $20 million on vacations. Now, where's the lid on that? A royal family don't pay that kind of money.
I understand. It's one of the great scandals. I mean, just shameless. Shameless. But what are you going to do, at least right now? What we're going to do is we're going to have to say goodbye.
You got
to
know.
Dave, we're out of time.
You vote for independent. You vote for anybody you can, but somebody that's in there.
But we're out of time, Dave, so we have to close down. Thank you for the call. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Dave and Jerry, and also Jim. Talk to you later, folks. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay.